Welcome to the Darrell McClain Show. I'm your host, Darrell McClain, and let's get into our episode.
Simply search for the T-Bone and Chick Brew podcast, available wherever fine podcasts are sold.
The Darrell McClain Show is fully listener-supported, independent media that won't lead you to tribalism. You can get a membership for as little as $3 a month at www.patreon.com/TheDarrellMcClain Show.
We talk about a lot of serious topics on this show. One very serious topic is women's health. One company that stood out to me was VSlay.com because the owner is very transparent about her own struggles in the women's health department and has great customer service, great deals, and frequent sales. You can check her out, her great customer service, products about women's health, and frequent sales at www.VSlay.com. That is www.VSlay.com.
I was a soft kid. I was sensitive. I'd cry easy, and I would be scared to fist fight. My mother used to tell me this thing, "Son, sometimes you have to be a lion so you can be the lamb you really are." And that's why I love my art form, because I understand every practitioner of it. Whether I agree with them or not, I know where they're coming from. They want to be heard. They've got something to say. There's something they've noticed. They just want to be understood. I love this genre. It saved my life. So that quote comes from one David Chappelle. And I thought it was a good quote because this show is going to be exclusively about Dave Chappelle. And the closer, which was the last special that he did, where he did say that that would be his last special for a while. So let's do a long and annoyingly nuanced take on Dave Chappelle's new special. People keep asking what I think about the new Dave Chappelle stand-up comedy special, The Closer. Before I go into further detail, I should probably say something about why I'm getting this question. If people asking were friends of mine, we hung out in high school and I watched funny stuff with me on the regular basis in my 20s. I am now 41 and much bushier and more boring now. Curiosity about this might make sense. I loved Half-Baked way back when I was a huge fan of the Chappelle Show when it was on TV. Just before he walked away from the show, I drove 3 hours round trip from Michigan, where I was a graduate student at West Michigan University, to my hometown of East Lansing to see Chappelle do stand-up. He was great. In the years that followed, the DVDs of the only two seasons of his show that were ever made got a lot of use in various apartments where I lived. The man has always been one of the short lists, or on my short list, of favorite comedians. So it would make sense if someone who knew this about me would ask if I liked his new special. The answer to that question, by the way, leaving out all the questions of morality or politics, would be it was pretty good. Not his best. Sticks and Stones was way better. But there is definitely a few parts that made me laugh. But that's not the reason anyone was asking. The reason they're asking is that I wrote a book called Canceling Comedians While the World Burns. Most of it wasn't about comedy. The one chapter on comedy wars, chapter one, Lenny Bruce Can't Save Us, was the opening hook. I thought it was an accessible way into larger subjects I wanted to write about. I used the subject of the opening chapter as the title for a reason. First, people denouncing comedians who are honestly one of the least politically important groups of people in existence, and thinking that by denouncing them, they're somehow doing something on behalf of liberatory politics struck me as particular extreme and vivid example of a much bigger phenomenon of both mainstream liberal and actual leftist politics being hijacked by a culture of counterproductive moralism. Second, canceling comedians alliterates. Some people asking what I thought of the closer are, I know people who are actually read the book, thus marking themselves as being among the best humans who have ever lived, and who remembered that in the Comedy Wars chapter I talk about Chappelle's previous special, the vast majority of people asking are people who only read the title. It sold a few thousand copies, which objectively is great, in an Inside Baseball book about left published by Critical Theory imprint of a small press. I'm not crushed that it never went sold at airport bookstores territory, but sadly, my sense is that most of the readers were people who were already pretty open to the case that I was making. I don't think that that makes it a waste of time to have written it, since nothing else was real value in planting a flag in a more profound and grounded sort of left politics, showing people who were just as frustrated as I was with the pathologies of the left. We have now what materialist critique of the pathologies look like, and sending the signal that they're not alone and there are spaces within not just a vaguely progressive but even the specifically socialist left for people who hate all of that. I've had people tell me the book stopped them from drifting out of the left entirely, even in at least a couple of cases, that this news perspective motivated them to rejoin DSA, and that makes me really happy. That said, it is a bit of a drag that, assuming that my rough back of napkin math is correct, about 200 trillion times more people only read the title and formed opinions about the book based on that. I know that there's a degree to which I was gassing for it by putting such a fire-breathing title on a thing in the first place. It's the title that arose out of the same visceral sense of frustration with a version of the left that often seems to care more about moral purity than actually helping working class people that led me to write the damn thing in the first place. And I guess that's my way of trying to grab readers by the scruff of the neck and get them to pay attention to the critique. But also, if you're going to play with fire, yada yada yada. I can't be surprised or shocked that in the year of our Lord 2021, very few people read, and very many people are going to react with mindless rage or mindless rage to the title that expressed my own anger. So there are a lot of title readers walking around today who are convinced that the whole point of the book was that I think its most pressing injustice in the world is people being mean to comedians, which comes very close to being exactly the opposite of the point I was making about cutting out all of moralistic nonsense and de-emphasizing the culture war sideshow so we can appeal to broad swaths of the population based on shared material interest. And no, to anticipate the depressingly inevitable straw man, I don't regard full legal and civil equality for everyone, and hence, e.g., supporting laws to make it harder to discriminate against gay and trans people, or finding ways to make it easier to fire or prosecute racist cops as a culture war sideshow. Those are core commitments derived from an enlightened worldview that motivated people like Marx and Engels in the first place and continue to motivate the struggle for more materially egalitarian society. But I do think we need to chill out on the micro examinations of the degree of progressivism in an individual's people's souls, whether we're talking about public figures or random people in the DSA. And politics aside, I certainly hate the kind of ultra simplistic art criticisms that moralistic approach to politics tend to generate. So even though my bottom line political position on comedy is that it's not politically important, and it's bizarre that it is, whether that takes a positive follow Jon Stewart to D.C. for the rally to restore sanity form or a negative cancel-y form, I do think that it is, like other kinds of art, a valuable human activity. Certainly it's one of that I personally like a lot. So I'm happy to take off my political commentator hat and put on my guy who enjoys comedy hat and discuss the special. That means that if you were skimming to see when I actually started talking about the closer, you can actually start listening closely now. So the reason people were asking about this is more than anything that lots of comedy critics is what the left of the media in 2021 and lots of people on Twitter thought of the special. A, transphobic, B, not funny, or C, both. They want to know if I agree. The first thing I would say is that I've seen a lot of people on social media trying to third position this with a too cool for school claim that they were bored by the special. And I just don't believe them. There's a description of a bar fight with a lesbian woman who threw the first punch because she thought Dave was hitting her girlfriend that ends with a whoop of toxic masculinity out of her. There's an extended meditation of what it would have been like if Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had been tasked with racially integrating glory holes. You can find these things funny or you can find them distasteful, but I seriously doubt you were actually bored. Second, If you were put off by any of this or the material about trans people later in the special, all I can say is fair enough. I, not and never have been a business of telling anyone not to find a joke off-putting or offensive. I'll go ahead and quote myself from the comedy chapter. Getting mad at someone for not being seduced into laughing at taboo materials is asinine. You might as well get mad at someone you have a crush on for not finding you particularly attractive. That true in general, another for my favorite comedians, Doug Stanhope, tells this joke in a couple of albums about how his comedy is like animal porn. It's not for everyone, and that goes double for material like this because I know that I don't know that it would be like to go through what trans people go through. And well, I'll go ahead and quote comedy chapter again since I know people who are demanding to know what I think about it didn't read and it might be surprised by what it says. Second, and more importantly, I think it's worth being cautious and realistic about the extent to which any of us completely know ourselves when it comes to any of this. Thus, it's far too easily to delude yourself with the thinking that you don't have any fenced off areas because you have yet to hear anyone crack a joke about one of yours. If a trans person whose experience is utterly unlike mine watched the special and makes a judgment that they don't like the vibe they got from seeing Dave Chappelle working through the rough edges of various complicated feelings about trans issues, accusations that he's transphobic, etc., on stage, or they decide that they come off the specific jokes he tells are not cool and they don't like him anymore as a result, that if I like to think that I'm not as monumentally ridiculous as I'd have to be to tell them they're wrong and to feel this way. But in most cases, I get the sense that most of the people, some trans, but probably most cis, the statistics being what they are, who are mad about what they think he said in the special did actually not watch it. And they are basing their judgment on a handful of decontextualized quotes and summaries so tone deaf that, frankly, to steal a joke from the text of the late Michael Brooks sent me once about an article written by the left media figure I'm not going to name here sounds like an internal memo from a Romanian censorship office in the 70s, but dumber. So yes, there's a point where he said he was on Team Turf. He said that about 30 seconds after admitting that he didn't quite know what a turf was. 5 minutes after, he explained it in a very funny way why laws like the one mandating bathroom discrimination in North Carolina were so cruel and pointless, and about 2 minutes before explicitly denying that he believes that trans women aren't women. Note, actual turfs do not call themselves turfs. In fact, are always going to are going on about how that's a slur, and B, very much do deny that trans women are actual women. That's kind of their whole thing. He said that the Team TERF thing emphasizes that there's a sense in which gender, i.e. sex, is biological. Trans philosopher Sophie Grace Chappelle, no relation to Dave Chappelle, she's a white British woman, would, if I'm reading her right, agree with him on that, but also agree with the point that he made in an honestly and pretty moving way later in the special about how trans people were undergoing a real human experience that merits empathy. I hope she doesn't show up at the Marshall McLuhan and Annie Hall me in the comments. I would actually be out of question giving that I'm naming her here, and she has a presence on social media. I am cautiously optimistic that she won't, though, because A, I'm trying hard to get her view right, and B, my strong sense is that she has better things to worry about than a commentary about comedy. Her analogy, which I've always liked, is that words like father, mother, and parent have both a biological and a non-biological meaning. When someone says, the test came back and you're not the father, we know what that means. But when someone refers to his stepfather as his father, we also know what that means. Now, someone who insisted that we only ever use the word in the biological sense, for example, step-parents should be excluded from parents, teachers' conferences because they were not parents, damn it, would correctly be regarded as a cruel and unpleasant bigot. Interestingly enough, Dave said the phrase, I'm transphobic, what felt like about 20 or 30 times, but the denunciation summarizes of special general left that out of focus on the term Team TERF comment. Why? Well, it's rapidly become clear, I think, even to the most literalistic and uncharitable viewers, that he's always described himself as transphobic. Right before or right after saying something he clearly regards as being positive and affirming about trans people. Your judgment might be that he's failing to do that, and I'm probably not the best person to weigh in on that part of the argument, but certain to a point that taking the TERF transphobic stuff literally is just like reading the funeral speech from Julius Caesar and thinking that Mark Antony was seriously asserting his own view when he kept saying that Brutus is an honorable man. That said, someone actually could watch the special with an open mind and still decide that listening to an often brilliantly hilarious but also sometimes clueless Gen Xer use his particular style of rough comedy to try to work through a personal evolution, mixed feelings, reminiscence, etc., with all the delicacy of a squadron of helicopters blaring Wagner while napalming the countryside was just not their thing. Sure. At the very least, you could say that he's treating comedians getting accused of transphobia as far too a big deal compared with the vastly higher priorities issues involving the treatment of trans people. You can also ding him for bringing up J.K. Rowling without knowing much about her. And explaining why she was canceled, he made it sound like it was a single interview answer rather than increasingly strange fixations of hers. But it's a little much to talk about specials as if it were some festival of controversy courting gleefully edgelordish transphobia. No one could ever mistake him for a kind of performer who chose his words with caution so he doesn't offend anyone. But this also special, where about 15 minutes were spent talking about his friendships with a now dead trans woman named Daphne, and he dialogues that they have about these issues and his ongoing relationships with Daphne's family. One of the last things he says in the entire special is he's not going to tell any more jokes about this particular subject until he feels we're all laughing together. Oddly, that line never seems to make it into anyone's summaries. So, that was a long and annoyingly nuanced take on Dave Chappelle's new special, courtesy of Professor Ben Burgess, and the author of Canceling Comedians While the World Burns, A Critique of the Contemporary Left, and also the voice of the podcast and YouTube channel, Give Them an Argument. I'm going to come right out and say that at least on one point, I have to admit that I'm in the category of people that I did not find the special remarkably funny, and that I do think that the first special, Sticks and Stones, was the best of the few that have been done. I actually, when I was on Netflix and saw that there was a special called The Closer, and that it was starring Dave Chappelle, it wasn't even really on my radar to watch it immediately. I put it kind of on the shelf of things to watch, you know, in leisure later on. And I was messaged by people who just kept telling me to watch the special. So I sat there watching the special all alone, and I can just admit I didn't laugh a lot. And I realized that it was because something was fundamentally different, not just with Dave Chappelle, but with me. And I think that it seems that as if I have matured in my comedic taste, but Dave Chappelle is somewhat still stuck in a position or in a thought process that I had to weed through about 5 years ago, probably a bit earlier than that, to be honest, because I actually had friends that I grew up with who identified as trans who were murdered. Two of them, to be specific. So it was a realization to me that people that I knew that, you know, this term is cliche, but it is true for them, did not bother anybody, but yet and still, they were taken away just for having the audacity to be who they felt like they were on the inside. So when I hear jokes about this specific group, I don't find them particularly funny. And it's honestly because I don't find it all that interesting. I don't find it very nuanced or deep. It's almost, to me, the same type of joke when every hack comedian does the my wife is a bitch or my wife's so stupid joke, or the female comedian does the men are so dumb joke, or it's just kind of boilerplate stuff that every comedian's going to say. I kind of just kind of let them get that material out of the way and get on to some other analysis that I find particularly funny. What I do.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It goes without saying that this show does not happen without listener support. Support the Darrell McClain Show by going to www.patreon.com and getting a membership for $3. Or you can go to buzzsprouts.com/the Darrell McClain Show and hit the subscribe button and join there. Many ways to donate to the show. Independent media that won't reinforce tribalism. We have one planet. Nobody is leaving, so let us reason together. www.patreon.com/the Darrell McClain Show, or go to Buzzsprouts and to the Darrell McClain Show and subscribe.
Take into account when it comes to the Chappelle stuff, and I look at everything as kind of a continuation of a conversation that he has been trying to have since Sticks and Stones. And it seems like he is very interested in this topic. And to be honest, I just don't understand why. But I also somewhat can summarize, you know, that it's because as of late, it seems like this has become a big issue for people on the right. And it has become one of the cultural war issues that they have kind of dug their heels in on. And if Dave Chappelle's comedy is a bit of a cultural critique or a pointing out of what's ridiculous in culture, then maybe that is why he latched on to the topic. And I do think that we have to understand two things at one time. One, a comedy is meant to make people laugh, to put people at ease, and a joke is supposed to be funny. The second thing is, jokes often made at people's expenses are only funny to certain people, normally who are not in the group, and a very specific type of person inside the group. So when you go to enjoy a comedy show or you watch it on TV, I make it my business to watch at least 45 minutes of comedy a day. You do have to understand that the comedians are always poking fun at one particular tribe or another. Most people on the left like comedy because they're constantly poking fun of politicians or things that people on the right do. Most people on the right who like comedy, you know, kind of like it for the same reason. That's why you have your famous comedians like your Bill Maher's on the left or somewhere in the libertarian camp. And you have your Dennis Miller's, you know, on the right, and people like that. And you have your people like Joe Rogan, you know, somewhere as an independent who makes fun of politics as well. And you have your traditional comedians who are no longer with us, like George Carlin or Bill Hicks. And George Carlin was known for being the white guy that said the N-word, the guy that could really get you thinking differently about religious takes and could really go hard about religion and the military-industrial complex. And David Letterman was famous because he was kind of witty and corny and would get somebody like Bill O'Reilly on and poke fun at nakedly Republican ideas that only took the air out of them when they were laughed at. And the thing that I have noticed is that most people will laugh at a joke as long as it's not at their own expense. The question has always been, what makes a good comedian? And that's the term that Dave Chappelle somewhat talked about, where he talked about an article that was written about him where he was accused of punching down. And I have heard that not specifically just about Dave Chappelle. When I heard it in the context, I heard it somewhat about Jon Stewart and the way that a good comedian punches above his weight, not below. Now, that is a very difficult thing to deal with, because that would mean that the comedian has to somewhat believe that there's a class dynamic that in America, really, when it comes to an American context, we don't deal with class issues like that. We know we can hear people talk about the rich, we can hear people talk about the poor, but we don't have detailed conversations about wages and class disparity as if we were in Britain. So the notion of an American comedian punching up or punching down is somewhat, it is almost preposterous, but that is what people certainly look for. So if a comedian is making fun of the president or a politician or a president is seen above the comedian because they're in a position of power. So if they're critiquing them, that is seen as punching up. If a comedian makes fun of a marginalized community, whatever special interest group you want to insert, because those people are seen as being on the margins of society they call that stuff punching down. The fundamental mistake that I think Dave Chappelle made is he made the mistake of actually reading his critics and letting them hurt his feelings. Now, that is why I picked the quote that he said about him being fragile and soft and so on and so forth. Famously, the artist Erykah Badu, when she's doing the song called Tyrone, says, "I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit." And I think that's true of all artists. They may act bold and they may put their art out there matter-of-factly, but when it boils down to it, they do want you to like them. They are just trying to get you to like their art. They are trying to say something. And when it is critiqued, it does hurt them. And they are going to punch back. When it comes to the notion of cancelizations, cancel cultures, this is a very particular thing that, as somebody, as a man without a tribe, I could say, I watch everybody engage in. I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida, fairly conservative, and I saw all the time conservatives were trying to cancel this person for doing this and the Boy Scouts and this one for doing this at the church and that one for playing this on the radio and this one for doing this at the music awards, so on and so forth. The left now, or at least the online left, has picked up that mantle and they somewhat do the same thing. And tech giants also engage in it by blocking certain views that they don't think meet the orthodoxy. The pernicious way that this has taken root in American society is that now people who did not pick themselves to be politicians and therefore politically correct are being pointed at as if they were politicians who are supposed to be politically correct. Nobody elected Dave Chappelle to run for anything. Nobody voted to make him the moral arbiter of what is right, what is correct, and what should be said and what should not be said. Fundamentally, we only look at him to laugh. And if you look at his earlier work, it was always outrageous. It was always envelope pushing. It was always doing something to push the bounds. At its core, he's almost like a provocateur, poking and prodding at things that are taboo. And I think, and in its truest form, in its most charitable form, that is what all comedians actually do. I understand that people's feelings would be hurt by what was being said. I also think that we have to understand that people are going to have thoughts that are fundamentally different than ours, and we don't have to engage with them. You know? Also, I think it's imperative for people like Dave and everybody else to understand that when you put out a statement or a special or anything, the world is built in such a way now that people have the ability to respond and they will respond. That's just the other side of that coin. Dave Chappelle is a powerful millionaire who gets to say whatever he wants to say. Part of that is other people who are not powerful, who are not millionaires, are going to use the only thing they have, which is their voice, to respond back. They don't get paid for doing what they do. But this is a place that we pride ourselves on the freedom of speech and the freedom of expression. So by all means, let Dave Chappelle say and freely express himself. And let's let other people have their say as well. Because I am not somebody who is transgender, I do my best to listen to people who are. And I've heard differing opinions on all these things. I had one person who is trans that I know tell me that they thought that what Dave Chappelle said, and I'm actually going to read it, that I feel like Dave Chappelle doesn't understand what he could have just started and how many steps he could have just taken us back and how much danger he have put a group of people in. That was a very vulgar comedy skit, and I just felt was just him jumping on the bandwagon to get publicity. And that is, I think, can be true enough. There are some people that is going to take something that's meant as a joke and use it as something that is literal and will hate people or attack people because of it. The question then becomes, what is the responsibility of a comedian? And most of us, or a lot of us, could handle, sit in the camp of, say, possibly none. At the end of the day, they're just people coming to things with their anecdotal experience and making a criticisms about what is around them. We can expect no more or no less than the conversations being had in larger society. Some of them will be brilliant and erudite, and some of them will be flippant and reactionary and not so great. That is the penalty of living in a multicultural melting pot. And there is somebody else that is literally my best friend, who's also trans, that said, it had a very different take, did not watch the special, etc. And basically said, trans women are being killed and people are still focused on Netflix, separate battles for the separate war, for a separate war. Went on to say, cancel culture is dumb, for real. If the trans community doesn't learn to pick our battles, the vast majority won't give a shit about what we want. It's Netflix. Don't watch the Dave Chappelle Show special. It's simple. And I think that that is something that I somewhat agree on as well. That there is a type of thinking that I saw, and I noticed it when I was in the Middle East. Yeah. That somebody would do something offensive. So let's say they would get a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad doing something outrageous. Muslims don't even believe you should have depictions of the Prophet Muhammad. And instead of people just knowing it would, that happened, they would actually get on the internet, search the pictures, and then be outraged. I just think that that is something that is deep in our human psychology that we have to weed out of us. This knowing something is going to offend us and then watching it to be offended. And it's one of those things. If you were to tell me there's an entire special that a comedian put out and he really, you know, talked about the Daryl McLean show and said you blah, 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 I'll take your word for it. I'm not interested in watching it. I'll watch people that like me. And I think that that is somewhat something that we have to get out of our system. This sort of outrage porn, where we know somebody is going to say something we disagree with, so we watch their videos to see if they say what we think they're going to say, so we can ruin our day. If I think Jordan Peterson is going to say something stupid, I'm really just not going to listen to Jordan Peterson. And if I think Eric Dyson is going to say something stupid, I'm just not going to listen to Eric Dyson. I don't need to watch Fox News to understand what Fox News is. And I don't need to watch MSNBC to understand what they are either. And I think fundamentally we have to learn to give each other space and leave each other alone. If you don't want the donut because it has high fructose corn syrup in it, then don't eat the donut. You don't need to go around kicking donuts out of everybody else's hands. And that is kind of what I think about this. If you think that the Dave Chappelle special is problematic, you don't have to look at it. If Dave Chappelle is hurt because a critic wrote something about him, well, he probably shouldn't have been reading his critics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that is just kind of what I think about it. One of my patrons, James, also said, Dave Chappelle was on a mission. He used his stage from his last presidency to present crude and controversy because he knows it sells. The more people talk about him, the more people know his name. Even if people hate what he's saying, someone has to watch it to know why they hate him. I feel like this was an attempt of appealing to pathos, but he's fragile. He walked away in 2005. Funny enough, one of his specials was named Sticks and Stones. I get it that words matter and they hurt, but there's still lessons to be learned from the rhyme. And another patron, by the name of Glenn, said, "The documentary Social Dilemma should be considered by every school board as a good resource for students as they navigate through the online world. Perhaps the sharp minds can more easily understand that when we interact honestly and acceptingly of one another, they can then be a community. So they, people can say that they belong to." My last thing that I'm going to kind of say about this just in free form is this. When it came to the parts where Dave talks about Daphne and that they had a relationship and that it was his trans friend and she opened up some comedy shows for him, I thought that was a very interesting and I do think sad take. If you didn't watch the special, he talks about that he met an older woman who, you know, she's talking to him at a restaurant or a bar or something like that. And after they're getting deep into a conversation, she shows him a picture of her daughter. It said she's trans. And she was somewhat upset because she had seen one of Dave's specials. Dave then goes on a few months later to a party and he actually sees the trans woman that the mother had showed him out, and that was Daphne. When he put out the one special, Daphne defended Dave. And if you know the tragic story, Daphne went on to kill herself after that special came out. Now, the way Dave internalized it was that trans people bullied his friend Daphne, who was trans, to death. And then his response is Daphne's children, it was a touching thing where he's going to put them through college or, you know, something like that. That part, to me, I found very true, but also sad because Daphne, who probably struggled with their identity issues her entire life, came out to see Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle allowed her to open up for him on several shows, and by all accounts, Daphne wasn't that great. And Daphne ended up killing herself because of probably a mix of things, but I don't think that her standing up for Dave Chappelle helped whatever mental health issue she was going through. So Dave Chappelle now gets a story to tell, and Daphne is dead. And that is where I say, I don't know if the joke was actually worth that. I don't know if the juice was worth the squeeze. And so because I approach it from that notion of I've had friends who were trans that were murdered and Dave Chappelle's trans friend kills herself, I'm one of the people who, when I hear the jokes, I don't find it particularly funny. I find it very serious and I wonder why we have to keep broaching this topic. And I look at Dave and I just wonder what happened. And I think that is something we'll all keep wrestling with and wondering about. So at any rate, thank you for tuning in to this episode. I probably have a lot of other thoughts on it that if I was on the phone having a conversation with somebody, I would work through a lot. But it seemed like something that everybody was interested in, and I started to get several messages about it. So I decided to do a show on it. Of course, you know what to do if you want to support the show. New show coming up tomorrow. See you on the next episode. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Of course, if you want to support the show, you can do so by going to www.patreon.com and getting a membership for as little as $3 a month. Again, that's www.patreon.com/The Darrell McLean Show. The Darrell McLean Show is fully listener-supported, independent media that won't lead you to tribalism. Get a membership and support independent media at www.patreon.com/The Darrell McLean Show.